than the 48 Black Death, 1348 Black Death. So that's that 7 years. It's like the brakes have come off, and all of the awful things that you can imagine are going to happen. The planet will elect a leader who will have various names, but the Bible calls him the Antichrist. And that's the kind of, not anti as in against, but anti as in place of. And the world will choose their own leader. Like when the Jews said, they chose Barabbas, another. He was called Jesus Barabbas, Jesus, son of the Father. We'll choose, give us Barabbas. That's the kind of thing that people will choose a different savior, and he will rule here. Final trumpet still coming. Final trumpet. What I need is help. I need volunteers. I need volunteers. You're all my volunteers here, thank you. You are the dead in Christ. Okay, this is you lot, hang on. Yes, yes. You are the dead. You are the dead in Christ. Thomas, could you come sit at the front? I'm going to co-opt a family member because I don't feel confident that the rest of you... can you just sit there? That's it, good lad. You can use that in a minute. You've got to tell Thomas what he's got to do. Janet. I know Janet's a good egg. She won't mind. Can you be alive in Christ for us? Alive at his coming? Sorry. Okay. All right. So far, so good. A trumpeter. Anyone play the trumpet here? William? Joel? Okay, come down. You two come down here. This is the easy job. You don't get into trouble if you come down here. Go on, you boys come. Every time I mention the word trumpet, you sit there, I want you to stand up and go, okay? That's easy, isn't it? That's the easy one. That's easy compared to what I'm going to make them do. Right. So, every time I mention the word trumpet, okay, that's it. Fine. Right. How are we doing? We're all right. We're getting there. We're setting up. If those 7 years had not been cut short, no one on the planet would survive. So, this is Jesus' meta-analysis. Who's an optimist here? I'm an optimist. Who are the kind of glasses, half-empty people here? I'm usually engineers and accountants. Where's Martin? Okay. I'm an optimist. But Jesus' meta-analysis of history is this, and it's summed up in one very brief saying. He said that lawlessness would wax worse and prevail up until this point, or actually even beyond in a strange kind of way. But lawlessness, that is sometimes called, we call the devil hoponeros in the Greek, that is the wicked one. He is the corrupting one. He cannot make anything, but he can corrupt what God has done. And that is all of what our sin is, it's all of what evil is. It's corrupting what God has made. And this will be the kind of fruition of that, for that awful brief 7 years. And at the end of that, God cuts it short for somebody's sake, for the elect's sake, for the church. And it's cut short for that moment. And at a certain moment in Revelation, if you remember your book of Revelation, there are seven trumpets. And when at one, up, seven, and on the seventh and final trumpet, it's like the whole culmination of the book of Revelation happens then. And thank you, boys. That was pretty good. I want it louder next time, if you can. After that moment in history, there's 1,000 years of Jesus Christ reigning on the earth. After that, Revelation says there is one final rebellion to take place. There's a little naughty devil. After that, the last judgment, the one that you read about, great and small. And after that, the new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth. The question is, that you're all asking, is where on this timeline is the resurrection? and it can be pinpointed within the blink of an eye to that moment. So, we want to know, that's our question. Let's look at three verses from the scriptures. Now, can I just say before we start this, this is not one of the primary doctrines of the church. So if you, used to hold for many years a very different understanding of this when I first became a Christian. And actually for most of the church's history since the Council of Ephesus in about AD 539, even the main church held a very different view. And I'll explain perhaps why. So this is not something that we're going to argue. We can debate in a friendly way, but we're not going to fall out about this. We mustn't. And you mustn't just take what the preacher says. You have the freedom, mostly mature Christians, you have the freedom to study the scriptures for yourselves. Okay, so we don't fall out. If you disagree, that's fine. But let's see what the scriptures say. Can we have the next slide, please? Okay, here are three verses. All right, there are. Okay. What happens when I do that? Okay. So let's look at that first verse, Matthew 24, verse 30. This is the Lord talking. This is the verses where he's, on the Mount of Olives, looking back at the temple. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. So this is a very different appearing. It's called his glorious appearing. His glorious appearing, no longer a baby. This is the second coming of Jesus to fulfill everything that he has not yet fulfilled in the scriptures. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet. Angels going out at that moment. And he will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? You dead in Christ over here, you must tell me exactly when you are going to be given your new body. That's what you need to know. I want to know when that's happening. And so do you guys. So you've got to tell Janet and you lot have got to tell Thomas. A loud trumpet, and the angels will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It doesn't quite tell us, does it? It does tell us about the loud trumpet. Thank you. Okay, let's look at another verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Listen. Look you. If I was Welsh, I'd say, look you. I tell you a mystery. That means something that's hidden. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That means die. That's his euphemism for death. We will not all die. Who's the alive in Christ? Over here, you guys. You will not. Not everyone on the planet will be dead. And not all the church will be dead at the coming of Jesus. We will not all die. Paul doesn't know when it is. He's thinking maybe I'll be alive at the coming of the Lord. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Where are we going to put the twinkling of the eye? I don't know. It's very typical, isn't it? Should we stick it there? Well, let's just move. For the sake of visualness, let's just... Okay, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Thank you. Yeah, go on. Yeah, take it. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Okay, looks like. Okay, now, should we do the last verse before you finally vote? You're building up your ideas now. Let's have 1 Thessalonians. Here's Paul talking to a church who were in deep trouble. Some of the people were saying that the resurrection had already passed, so there's just difficulties, there's wrong doctrine. Paul's putting them straight. He says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, that is, we who are still alive in the 7 years that lead up to his death, we who are still alive, so the church is still on the earth as far as Paul's concerned, a view which was held by all of the early fathers of the church for the first few hundred years. There was never any debate about it, not until the Council of Ephesus in the 5th century. So as far as Paul's aware, we who are still alive at the coming of the Lord, who are left up until the final trumpet, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Let's catch that. We who are still alive, that's you lot, you are not going to precede this lot. Right? Okay. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. The German there is Aufstehen. Aufstehen. They will stand up in Christ. Will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive... After that, we who are still alive... Sorry, I'm pointing at the wrong people. We who are still alive, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's put them all together. Let's have your suggestion. Where should Tom go? Come up, stand up. Edge in. Janet, can you stand next to him? Okay. Left a bit, right a bit. Got Janet knows, you see, she knows about this. You're about here. Thomas, where are you supposed to be, do you think? You're the dead in Christ. Yeah. Bearing in mind, everyone, that it all happens within the blink of an eye.
Kind of like this.
You know when the resurrection happens. I have to put everything behind the blink of an eye. That's all right, thank you. So the dead, hang on, we've got the dead first, the others second, all within the blinking of an eye, and the trumpet call of God. As you can see, we're starting to get a bit of a pickle. This is really important because it can answer lots of different questions. And at that point, Paul says, we will all be raised. If you look at the next verses, Paul says again in Philippians, we wait for a Saviour who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies. Would anyone like to show me an example of a lowly body? Yeah, lowly bodies. Who's looking? Is anyone here not looking forward to having a brand new body that never grows old? That can... Quite so. He who has the power. This is the Lord Jesus, whose word upholds the whole universe and holds the atom together. The Lord Jesus, who enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That is why he's called the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of a whole new creation, homo novus. In strange kind of way, I was listening to C.S. Lewis this morning in the wee hours. He's saying in a strange way, there's a similarity there with evolution. You see, evolution, if you held that materialist worldview, you were waiting for what man might become. Nietzsche said man is something which is yet to be decided or made, and education tries to remake men. Medical technology tries to remake. And yet, in a strange way, there is a whole new species of human being, and it's called the new man in Christ. It does not start with your new body. It starts from the inside out. It starts in here. And right now, in this strange period where the devil has his rebellion, we are living behind enemy lines, and we get a chance now to choose whose side we will be on, and that's his mercy. He will transform our lowly bodies, our bodies which have experienced the corruption of sin and death. Okay, what else have we got down there? 1 Corinthians 1:15 says, we will all be changed. It is interesting that the new bodies are not just given to Jesus followers. The people who have not chosen to live in the world that God's making, people have chosen against that, will also be given new bodies. Just an aside that. Let's have a look at Matthew 24. And this is the application. I was really into this. Who became a Christian and just wanted to know about the second coming? I was just like, tell me about this. It was about 22 years ago. I was a student. And it was, it was interesting and important. The importance is this. The Bible says, this is Peter, I think, 1 Peter, considering all these things, what kind of people ought we to be? Does it take any faith, knowing what you know about human beings, to think that we will one day elect a world leader at a time of great kind of trauma, where there are meteors hitting the earth and biological degradation? And does it take any faith? It doesn't take any faith at all. People used to believe in human beings. That's the view of modernism. But that died in the world wars when man came of age. Man's inhumanity was so shocking that people didn't know where to go. And many people were refugees from Marxism and became Christians because they suddenly realized that man could not produce his own answers. We were lost. We were so fallen. It left them with a view that actually thought, well, the only thing left was Christianity. Of course it is. It's the only answer. It's not that there's many answers. It is the only answer left that fits all the known facts. Everything else is too simple. So Matthew says this, and this is kind of, Matthew says, who then is the faithful and sensible slave? And he's talking to us, we're the slaves of King Jesus, whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing so when he comes. We've all got something to do. And it's very easy, is it not easy, just to lose track of what God's given you to do and to get distracted? Who is like distractible here? Anybody? Yeah, just like the next thing, what's on the telly? Or the encouragement in these verses is this. You know something. You're involved in a big rebellion. Well, the big rebellion is Satan's rebellion. We're choosing out of that, but we have got a mission. Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom. Remember the angels that were coming at the trumpet? Do you remember the angels? They're weeding out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. I'll say two things. I would say, my wife wants me to balance this, because the first time I preached this, I may have been, thank you, Ruth, a bit overemphasizing that 5 out of the 7 New Testament writers all warn Christians, this is written to Christians, all warn Christians that it is possible to lose their salvation. It is possible. And if you think about it, that is part of the way that God made the universe. He gave us free will. That's the risk he took. It is possible to choose against the Lord. If I was speaking to people I felt were tremendously complacent, like I can be, I would say that, watch out. The book of Revelation says, those who overcome, I will not blot out their names from the book of life. And that is, you can scratch from papyrus. So that's one thing. But then to balance that, if you have trembling hands and weak knees today, that's the metaphor for you're shaky, you want to serve the Lord, you feel that you need encouragement, then I'll say this. Jesus Christ is well able to keep you as you trust him. So if you're feeling weak, give yourself to the Lord. Don't be discouraged. It is possible to know that you have the confidence, the assurance, the blessed assurance that you are being saved as you trust him. Okay, so don't go around feverishly trying to do more Christian God stuff because you feel that'll give you more assurance. Rest in his words. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He is coming soon. He will reign on this planet for 1,000 years. On that planet, he will prove that even with perfect government, it's the last sort of form of government, to prove that human beings, even under perfect government, will still rebel. Satan, when he's let out of prison after that 1,000 years, will lead the final rebellion. And after that is Judgment Day. And after that, brand new heaven and earth with bunny rabbits. You can see the bunny rabbit down there. Let's read those last things. You see, he says, I am coming soon. And everyone here, the church, the bride says, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And something that Ruth mentioned last night, did you know it says that we can speed his return? Here's your homework. This is very advanced thinking. How can you speed Jesus' return? Go and find those verses and figure out what it means this week. Lord Jesus, we, the church, desperately say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, this world is under the domination of the powers of darkness. Lord, we look around the world and we thank you, Lord, that in the darkest places, in North Korea, in Syria, in Iraq, Iran, in Sudan, in Nigeria, in North Nigeria, Lord, these places, in the darkest places, Lord, your saints today shine as stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life to their persecutors. Lord, we want to thank you. The day is coming when you shall return and put an end to this great insurrection mounted by the fallen angel Lucifer. Lord, we want to lay our lives in the reality of this, Lord, before you, to ask, Lord, that you would show us what you want from our lives. And we sang earlier that we might bring, I think it's glory to your name. Lord, we know this. This is what the scriptures say. Lord, we want to find out how that works in our own Monday morning lives. And Lord, I pray for my friends here. Lord, and I know they will pray for me. Lord, that we would prove the faithfulness of God. That we would do exploits. That we would not be found sleepy, indulgent, distracted. Lord God, you know our hearts, that we are grass. We are like grass. We're like little birds fluttering around. Lord, give us some of your solidity and focus. Lord, put your own spirit into us, that we may think your thoughts and do your works, your actions here, your words, to reach out to the poor, to the ignorant. Lord God, bless this church. Lord, and the other Christians in Penrith, Lord, let your spirit rest upon them. Lord, let the word of God be preached to the poor. Amen.